You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar. And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it.
You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, also at Locked On Brewers, and Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers as well. We've got a good show for you today. Dr. Scott will be along. We're going to dive all into Christian Yelich and his season and what's different. That is, you know, obviously not in a good way. Yelich going 0-for-4 last night, taking the Kala, and his average at .210, and his numbers are just not even close to what they were in his last two seasons for the Brewers. So we'll talk with Dr. Scott about the analytics behind that and what's going on with Christian Yelich. So that's ahead. The Brewers fall to the Reds 6-1 at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati to wrap up their season series with Cincinnati. And they're a game back of the playoffs again, and it's on to St. Louis for a monumental five-game series in 4 days to finish the season. Cardinals lost last night, so everybody within a game of each other in the National League playoff race. It's a crazy, crazy race, and it's basically, four teams battling for, or six teams battling for four spots is kind of the way you look at it heading into the weekend, and here we are. So that's what's ahead. Brewers lose again. It got off to a bad start, 2-0, and it just didn't feel like they were going to recover. They had their chances a little bit, but then the Reds have a big inning to blow it open and win the game 6-1. So let's get into it with three up, three down.
Three up, three down.
So not a ton of ups last night for sure, but one of them was Avi Garcia. Had three hits. Got on base, had the leadoff hit, got thrown out on a close play at second base, then trying to steal on Tucker Barnhart, which probably wasn't a good idea. But in the first inning, that kind of spoiled the Brewers' threat there. But he did have two more hits, and three hits, three out of four, not a bad night, and one of the lone bright spots for the Brewers. And he struggled, but maybe this will help him snap out of it. I mean, looking for anything heading into the final five games here, somebody to get hot, right? Second up, Orlando Arcia continues to have a good year for the Brewers. I mean, basically what you can expect from the guy. His average at .244, it's been up to .260 or so, so it's up and down a little bit, but he's had a lot of big hits. He delivered a double to score Vogelbach, which is always fun to watch him run around the bases, but Garcia got the job done as far as getting the only RBI for the Brewers last night. Yeah, the ups are a little thin. The third up, all I could think of is, you know, they're still in it. I've understood now that Twitter is strictly for entertainment, and I don't put a lot of stock into it because it can be so stupid. What are we talking about? People come in and, oh, the season's over. You know, people just the doom and gloom. I mean, give me a break. You knew that they didn't have to be 8-0, you know, coming into this eight-game stretch. You knew that the pitching matchups against the Reds were tough. It didn't favor you necessarily. You had very tough pitchers to go against. And the Brewers got a game that could have, you know, pulled out the first game of the series. That would have been great. Coming into this game last night, you knew that the deck was stacked. You knew it wasn't going to be easy at all to win this game with the pitching matchup and the way things panned out. It kind of played out like you'd think. Trevor Bauer was outstanding. Eight innings, four hits, one run, struck out 12. The half inning after the Reds scored three in the fifth on the Eugenio Suarez home run, which is just, he just kills the Brewers. This guy just dominates Milwaukee. It's unbelievable. Anyway, after he hit the three-run shot to put him up 6-1, the Brewers did threaten. They got runners, a couple runners on, and then Bauer just bared down. And you know, it's frustrating for the Brewers' perspective. They can't put a ball in play to get a runner in. They can't, you know, that's very frustrating, no question. And blame goes to them, but also some credit goes to Trevor Bauer because he's really, really good. His ERA 1.73, and you can see why he's so good. Eight innings of really clutch pitching when his team needed it, and it was excellent last night. So got to give him credit a little bit. A little bit. The downs, Adrian Hauser, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's not the worst outing in the world, but he couldn't get through the fifth, due in large part to an error that was committed by Keston Hira, who's just, you know, I don't know if he can pull out of this. It's hard to see. He's young. He's having this sophomore slump at the plate. It's affected his defense now, it appears. But Hauser, just not very effective last night. Allowed a couple of home runs. He five hits, four runs, three earned. He walked one and struck out five. It wasn't god awful, but you know, just you need more this time of year for sure. And hopefully the Brewers the rest of the way can get more from the starting pitchers. Second down, Alex Claudio. Right? Comes in, walks Votto on four straight, and then allows the bomb to Suarez, which, to be fair, wasn't the worst pitch, it didn't seem like. Suarez kind of front-footed that baby and just got it on the sweet spot and strong-armed it out to left field. You know, it wasn't like a meaty pitch, but I just don't know with Claudio, you know. ZRA 4.50, you know, he took a huge brunt of fan criticism last year when he had a rough start. Then he had a decent season the rest of the way, and he hasn't been terrible, and Craig Counsell trusts him and uses him, but every time he comes in, aren't you kind of like, oh, boy. You know, you just are. And maybe it's the way he pitches, you know, because he's throwing 70, and he's got the wiggle to get into the motion, and I don't know. That's all I can say. I don't know about Claudio. Third down is Keston Hira. I mentioned it before. You know, he had the key error that really set up that fifth inning. That was the big difference in the game. Now, you know, Brewers are down 3-1. They didn't score again, so yeah, would they have won? They probably would have lost 3-1. I mean, I just did this. Bauer shut them down. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But that really, you know, took the pressure off, right, and put the game pretty much out of reach. And he had the error. Is it routine play to second? Throws it away, which sets up a walk and then the home run. He strikes out twice. He's 0 for 4. His average down to 211. I mean, he's in it deep, and he's really struggling. You know, the club needs him to pull out of it. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. Probably not. There's not a lot of time left. He hadn't been having it. You know, he was down average-wise and hitting-wise, but he'd still been providing some pop. But as of late, he's just been bad. He got a mental break in the second game of the series back in there last night, and just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they can play him, to be honest. I mean, what good is it doing you right now? You know, you're not very good defensively, so you're vulnerable there. He shows no signs of pulling out of it. And, you know, maybe Sogard is a better option, unfortunately, because, you know, it doesn't seem like that's all that great. But you got to win now. You know, these games, these next five are just huge. So it is what it is. Anyway, that's three up, three down. And the Brewers fall back to a game under 500, incredibly 0-9 when trying to get up over 500. It's just really something for a 500 team, you know, because you think a 500 team could win half those games. But nope, 0-9. 0-9 when trying to climb over the 500 mark. They still haven't done it, and they'll get back to action tonight to try and do that. We'll preview that game coming up after we talk to Dr. Scott. Brief look at the standings. Sees the Brewers again, game back of things in the mess that is the National League, which is kind of fun. The National League being a mess as it is, really, again, from St. Louis all the way to Milwaukee, six teams battling for four spots. The Brewers and Philly right now find themselves on the outside looking in. The Miami Marlins have lost four in a row. They're back to 500 at 28-28. They have a game today against the Braves, and then a three-game weekend set against the Yankees, who are still battling for playoff position in the American League. So they have something to play for, do the Yankees, even though they've already clinched a playoff spot. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's they're still, what, three games up on Toronto are the Yankees. So, you know, just in terms of, you know, do they play everybody or do they try and set up the playoffs against Miami? It'll be interesting. But the Marlins, again, 28-28, a great season for them. People thought they'd be the worst team in baseball. They're not. They might make the playoffs. Very good chance to. Philly 28-29 after they won. So they're you know, they only have three games left. The Brewers have five. So Phillies will only play a three-game weekend series. And then, of course, Cincinnati has to go into Minnesota, and the Twins battling for playoff positioning as well. And so Cincinnati's, you know, spent their three best pitchers on the Brewers. I think does Bauer maybe get another turn on Sunday? Maybe. He pitched on short rest and was brilliant last night. So, you know, we'll see there. But the Reds will have their work cut out for them. I mean, there's opportunities here. The Brewers play St. Louis, who they're only a game back of. So you've just absolutely got opportunities to get it done. And I don't think you have to sweep the series by any means. You don't have to have it pull out a miracle. Three wins has a high probability of getting you in the playoffs, going 3-2 against the Cardinals. Four, you know, practically guarantees it. You'd have a winning record on the season, and that probably gets you in. You know, you'd love to see four because you don't want to play the Dodgers in the first round, but, you know, maybe I'm getting too greedy there. I don't know. But anyway, that's a look at the standings. Brought to you by Hope. And we'll talk with Dr. Scott. Going to get into it with Christian Yelich and the analytics behind his season. We'll do that next. You're Locked On Brewers. Attention job seekers or job posters, Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You can only pay, or you should only pay, for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. So right now, Indeed offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. That's their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply. Offer is valid through September 30th. As a couple weeks ago, I had my car battery die. I drive, my wife drives, more accurately, daily, and I drive on family trips a 2013 Toyota Sienna. Okay, nice van. I mean, we're doing well with it. You pack all the kiddies in, you take family trips. We went to the pumpkin patch last weekend, and you know, that kind of stuff. It's American way. It's good stuff. Anyway, the battery died, and we were stranded. And I tell you, I could have used Rock Auto, rockauto.com. I could have gone. If I'd been prepared, I would have been able to shop and probably get a better price because I paid well over $100 for a battery. I bet I could have got it for less. So lesson learned. Go to rockauto.com. By the way, tell them Locked On sent you in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. It's important. They're a family-owned company. They've been serving auto parts customers for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Plus, I bet, car batteries. And don't bet, I know, car batteries. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Missed a chance there. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? It makes no sense. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Yes. Dr. Scott is with us once again for our weekly, mostly weekly segments. Dr. Scott, reliable as a Brewers sabermetrics genius, and he's with us once again to talk about the Brewers and break down the exact sabermetric chances of them making the playoffs. I guess, what is it, 48% now after this 6-1 crushing at the hands of the Reds?
It's been hovering around 50% for a while.
It makes sense. I would give it a 50-50 shot myself. And, yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of what you thought. They're 500. They can't get over 500. I think you'd think a 500 team who wins half its games and loses half its games would figure out a way to win a game when they have a chance to go over 500, but they're 0-9. I mean, what are the sabermetrics behind that goal?
Well, you look at multiply 0.5 times 0.5 times 0.5 9 times, whatever that fraction is, that's the chance. I mean, it's pretty low, and I don't know what it is, but they seem to fall flat with the offense. Every time you start to, you know, all right, I can squint my eyes and see Yelly's starting to look good here again, and he's starting to kind of swing his bat and look confident again, and then, you know, the next day he strikes out three times, and they score 17 runs one day, and then the next day they get blanked or barely even get a hit, yeah. You know? So it's been this season of extremes, and you kind of knew that was going to be that way going into the season, where everybody kind of got shot into this, didn't get to go through their normal routines. Spring training was kind of, you know, stopped and then started again, if you even want to call it that. Yeah. So all the uncertainty, I think, really has disrupted a lot of these players who are creatures of habit, and it shows.
Yeah, it definitely does. You mentioned Yelly. We're going to talk about Yelly today, because I had said, I think last week, that for the Brewers to make a run and make the playoffs, Christian Yelich was going to have to anchor that charge. He has not. They still have a good shot, 50-50, but he has not been able to jump out of it. And at the time I said it because, you know, he'd had a few good games and it looked like he was going to jump out of this horrific slump he's been in, like nothing we've seen before, certainly in Milwaukee. And It just has not happened. I mean, he's able to draw some walks and that sort of thing, so he's not a, you know, complete zero, but it's just not going well for Christian Yelich. Dr. Scott, what are you seeing when you look at the sabermetrics behind what is going on with Christian Yelich here in 2020?
Well, let's look at every part of the process here. I broke this down into simple, easy to understand phases. So the first phase is what kind of pitches is he seeing? You know, what's coming out of the pitcher's hand? And if we look at the fastball, slider, cutter, curveball, and change, the five pitches he sees the most, the profile, I mean, it's changed a little bit from 2018 to 19 to 20. But oddly enough, the profile in 2018 that he saw is very similar to the one that he's seeing in 2020, about 50% fastballs, 17% sliders, 5% cutters. The only thing that's really gone up is the curveball. It's gone from 9% last year up to 14% this year. But even in 2018, he was seeing 11% of them. So the curveball, you know, you could argue that maybe he's not hitting that as well, and maybe that's a weakness, but he's seen them in the past and they're not throwing him a ton more. So that's too simplistic of an answer. So what we have to do is take a step further. The pitch selection doesn't really give us a ton of information. So when it gets to the plate, where is it landing? Are they pitching them different? Are they, you know, working the zone different? And you do find that. If you look at the heat maps from 2019 to 2020, you can see that he's getting more pitches inside, especially high and in. He's also getting, and I don't know if I can say this word on Locked On, but crap. They're throwing him a lot of junk.
Oh, Dr. Scott, it's okay. You can say crap. it's like I was preparing for something terrible. My goodness. What are you, like to keep watching Nickelodeon every day or something? What is that? Oh, my God. Anyway.
I'm glad I was met with that response. I didn't know. I'm pushing lines here.
Okay. Well, let's move on from that.
Gloves are off.
Hey, is Leave It to Beaver on tonight at your house, or what the hell is going on over there?
Hey, gee, Wally. Yeah, just can't seem to hit Wall.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Dr. Scott. Anyway. All right.
Anyway, back from Leave It to Beaverland. So he's getting junk to hit. They're working him outside of the zone, and it seems like, you know, in 2018-19, if they missed, they'd miss inside the zone. Now they're not making that mistake anymore. So if they're erring, they're erring on the side of caution. He's also getting more, oddly enough, throwaway pitches, and I think that speaks to the curveball. Because if you look at the heat map, there's not even any little, you know how the heat map is. There's where it's red, there's a lot of pitches, and where it's blue, not so many. And there weren't any little blue dots near the ground in 2018 and 19, but now Yelly's getting a lot more throwaway curveballs in the dirt. Huh. And so, you know, that does kind of, you know, start to worry you a little bit then when you get to this point. So if we go a step further, we look at the pitch values. So what's he actually doing when he hits it? And again, we look at the fastball, the slider, the cutter, the curve, and the change, and he's gotten worse across the board from 2018 to 2020. Even the ones that he got better at between 2018 and 19, the fastball, the cutter, and the change, those all regressed in 2020. So the consistent regression where he's gotten worse all 3 years has been in the breaking ball category. And so maybe, you know, the Joe Boo effect is starting to settle in a little bit.
So Christian Yelich practices voodoo is what you're saying.
He's something like that, or maybe more. My reference is probably more, you know, alluding to the curveball a little bit more than the voodoo. But yeah, you know, you start to, and then so you look and you look at how, okay, the curveball might be messing him up a little bit more. They're working the zone outside, you know, outside the zone a little bit more. You look at plate discipline then. What's he actually doing? Is he deciding to swing? You know, when he is swinging, does he make contact? Oddly enough, he's swinging across the board. If you look at pitches outside of the zone or inside of the zone, he's swinging 10% less than he did last year.
Does so seem like he's taking a lot of walks, you know?
Yep, yep. And his contact is down too, but it's down less. So the walks, you know, it's interesting because he is backing away and taking more pitches, and his whiff rate is almost exactly the same. Last year, he whiffed 11.5% of the time. This year, it's 11.6% of the time. He's also getting about the same pitches inside of the zone at the end of the day. So even, you know, that you go back to step one where I was kind of talking about the pitches he's seeing and then where they're coming in, you talk about two, you look at that stuff and the zone number staying exactly 36% between 2019 and 2020 kind of throws away a lot of the little arguments you could make about, you know, it being pitch selection or, you know, where they're throwing it.
Well, okay, so what is going wrong then? I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, what do you see? Maybe does Babip or X, is it X Babip? What is the, you know, the expected batting average for balls in play compared to his actual Babip? I mean, I'm just trying to find out because it seems like it definitely seems like he's also striking out more. But he has, obviously, when he gets a hold of one, he still has 11 home runs and, you know, in 50-some games, that's not terrible. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what is the difference then in the main difference in the fact that he's hitting, you know, 210 or whatever it is now and just not himself?
If you boil it down to a simple way of saying it, it's that he is more timid at the plate. He's not swinging as much as he used to, and he's not, you know, being as gung-ho. The exit velocity is still there. When he makes contact, he's still hitting it hard. You know, that I think it's consistently been around 95 all year, and so it's like league-leading, you know, exit velocity. And so he's hitting the ball hard when he does. He's just being more timid at the plate. It kind of makes me think one of two things. If we're going to accept that as kind of being plausible, it makes me think, all right, we could go one way and say that maybe he's lost something and he's just protecting, you know, he's kind of, he doesn't want to swing as much because he's hoping he'll get the walk. That seems less likely to me. The other one would be he's kind of scared after he smashed the ball off his knee and almost lost his career, you know, so maybe he's looking for perfect pitches to hit, you know, and that's why all the hits that he's hitting now are home runs or nothing.
I've got it. He needs glasses.
Could be.
Just like Charlie Sheen, right? He just needs glasses. All he needs, big, thick, black glasses, and he'll just start bombing them again and call them Wild Thing or something.
Without lenses.
Yeah, something like that. No, I don't know. I mean, it's you know, you never know. It's not any offense toward you, but of course that's a complete guess. I mean, maybe he's not thinking about the knee at all. It's just hard to say. But that's interesting that he's more timid because, yeah, we've seen him take a lot of called strike threes that are frustrating, obviously, if you're a Brewer fan, right? And it's so, you know, I don't know. And again, you're in your mind, you go to, well, he had a terrible 2020. Well, it's 60 games. You know, and it's not – that's what we can say for a lot of Brewers, and that is going to be the focus of a lot of my conversations immediately whenever the season ends, hopefully some point in October, late October, early November.
What pulls that into focus a little bit, Ben, is the fact that his WAR – you look at his F WAR over the last 2 years. It was 7.6, 7.8. This year, he's on pace for 2.8.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just – it's a little – baffling. And obviously, I'm not going to use the 60-game and shortened season thing as a complete cop-out. You know, we don't know.
It's real, though.
It's real. What's happening is real. It's a big enough sample size. He's in there every day. It's real. But, you know, if this was a normal season, it'd be May, and we'd be saying, well, by June or July, he'll snap out of it. Nope. Doesn't have that chance this year. But then, as fans, you know, we are kind of in the cycle of just seasons in, seasons out, and now we almost forget that it's a shortened season, and the headlines next year will be, well, can he rebound off of this, you know, really disappointing year? Is his career over? Did the Brewers make a mistake by signing him to a 10-year deal? You know, all that stuff, right?
When I was suggesting it was real, too, I was saying that the smaller season, I mean, that effect is real.
Yeah,
The effect that we have less games here. Who knows? You know that, look at last year and the year before, how he started. What if you throw one of those months, one of those crazy hot yelly months, you know, in next month, like if the season was to continue, it sure would balance a lot of these numbers out that we're, you know, hemming and hawing over.
Yeah, it would completely change things. And, you know, look, maybe the guy does need a break after this humbling experience. Maybe there's a number of guys on this team that need that kind of a break to reevaluate. I mean, they need to talk to Corbin Burns and go to the lab. And, you know, do they have a hitting lab? They must. I don't know. They have a pitching lab.
Yeah, you'd think.
Maybe they could develop a revolutionary hitting lab and work on that. That's going to be a busy place all offseason.
I think I know what we're doing next, Ben.
What's that?
We're developing a hitting lab.
Oh, I'm told that that'll go well. That'll go real well. I'd be like George Costanza from that Seinfeld episode, right? Where he's hitting home runs. That was a great scene. Anyway, it's just to me, there's going to be a lot of theories floating around about this because now we're to the point where, you know, he really, unless they make the playoffs and he goes on a tear, you know, in St. Louis here and the rest of the playoff season and leads the Brewers on a run, which is unlikely that he'll go on a tear. Unless that happens, you know, that's going to be a huge question.
Yeah,
fair or not, going into next season. And again, that the whole offense is going to be under scrutiny going into next season because it's been so bad all year. But that's the question. And it's, you know, if you look at it through sabermetrics, those numbers are the stark difference, particularly in WAR, is really something. So
undeniable.
That's scary because the Brewers need Yelich to be, you know, I know he's not going to be an MVP every year, but they need him to be a star player. You know,
like we said, when he hits it, he's still hitting it hard.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's encouraging.
Still clearly has got it when in stretches anyway. It looks like it's an approach thing, and the more you look at all this stuff in whole, like it's just a guess when you're getting into why is it happening. But the one number that's pretty concrete and slaps me in the face every time I look at these numbers is the decrease in how he's swinging. You know, he's 10% less, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah, and it could be anything. Could be loss of confidence. Could be the fact he's not seeing the ball well and just hasn't been able to get in a rhythm. You know, he talked early in the season about his timing of his front foot, the step into the swing. I mean, who knows? It can be any of this stuff, and that's what's going to be swirling through his head, I'm sure. All winter long. So anyway, Dr. Scott, it was worth talking about Yelich because he's going to be the heartbeat of this team. I mean, they're going to have to get him right to have any kind of a threat in the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, they're going to have to.
For sure.
So we'll see. Anyway, it's been fun. As always, go check out Leave It to Beaver. And you can find Dr. Scott's material, crappy or not, on Brew. It's not crappy. It's very good. At Brew_Maths on his Twitter. That's at Brew_Maths. And then at brewmaths.com is the website. So thank you, Dr. Scott. As always, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right, Brewers and Cardinals, game one of the crucial, epic five-game series to wrap up the season here tonight. Brewers can get into it. Well, all the games are just huge. You can't overstate it. So I won't overstate it. I'll try, though. Game one, you really want to get game one, right? Don't put yourself in a hole. You got to get three here. You might need to get four, but you definitely have to get three. And so don't put yourself down in the hole here to start the series. Plus, your ace is going in Corbin Burns. His ERA at 1.77. He's just been incredible. His last time out against Kansas City, 6 innings, 0 earned runs. He's only allowed 1 earned run in his last 3 starts. So he's been really, really good. And the Brewers are going to need him to be a horse, certainly, tonight. Last time out against St. Louis, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 1 earned run. He walked 3 and struck out 10. I'd like to see him go a little longer tonight, but you know, you've got the full complement of your bullpen, everybody ready to go. Of course, you've got tonight and a doubleheader on Friday, so you've got to be aware of that as the Brewers get set for this series. So Corbin Burnes tonight, he will be opposed by a pretty good young, well, not young, but rookie pitcher in Kwang-Hoon Kim, who has just been really, really good. He gave up 4 earned runs his last time out against Pittsburgh. Before that, in his previous 5 starts, he'd allowed 1 earned run. So his ERA only 1.59. He's only started 6 games, and that's it for his career. he's coming over from South Korea. So he's been really, really good, and they'll see if the Brewers can try and figure him out. They have faced him once before. Back on September 14th, not too long ago, 7 innings, 0 on the board. 3 hits, no earned runs, and he was really good in that game. Had a no decision against Milwaukee on September 14th. So they have seen him about 10 days ago, so let's see if that helps them at all. I don't know, but he was excellent, and that is the pitching matchup. So you'd figure on paper this will be a super low-scoring game, which I guess is good considering the Brewer offense. I don't know. But that's what's going on tonight. And, you know, again, figure out a way. Find a way if you're the Brewers. The Cardinals coming off a blowout loss against Kansas City. And so they didn't really do anything against Kansas City to make any progress. And so they're a vulnerable team. You know, they're there for the taking. And the Brewers need to figure out a way to they'll take them. So we'll see what happens there. And we'll talk about it all tomorrow and get set for the doubleheader and the weekend finish all on tomorrow's podcast. It's coming down to the stretch. It's going to be a lot of fun. Still a lot of fun. Keep your head up. It's just, you know, you got a game in Cincinnati. You're still in it. You're right there. Wish it was better, but here we are. You got a chance. So that's the deal. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks, at Lockdown Brewers, and Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. I will talk to you tomorrow when we deliver your daily fix of Brewers baseball right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network.